Aren't you thankful that we can guide our lives with principles, not just some nice things in life? Be kind to others and they'll be kind back to you, but yet biblical principles that can change the way we live. Principle number 5, you have it in front of you, is what? Now that's the principle. That's not always how we live, is it? Man, any of you other than me have ever tried to live for happiness? Right? I mean, how many times even as a Christian do we just go and, man, that is my goal. If I could just get through this. And we may not say my goal is happiness, but I don't like the situation because I'm not happy in it. And I don't enjoy it. Well, happiness is really a byproduct of faithfulness to God and not a goal. And when we keep that in perspective, God does give us joy. We'll look at the book of Philippians a little bit here this morning, and Paul wrote that. He was in prison, and we can talk through so many different aspects of that. But turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Happiness is a byproduct of faithfulness to God and not a goal. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And man, that is such a difficult truth, but truly what a blessing that it is. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for all that you've done. Pray that you will strengthen us today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to make a difference in our lives. Help us not to strive and seek after happiness, but rather to seek after being faithful to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What is godliness? What is godliness? I almost saw a hand back there, Trent, so I almost called on you. Yeah. If you want to answer it, I'll let you, though. What is godliness? Dan. Okay, following Jesus' commands. Living like who? God. Living like Jesus. Be like God. Godliness. It really is. Think about 3 syllables there. Godliness. Be like God. I mean, that's the reality of what it is. Man, if someone says, man, you look like... People will tell me this. Back in Muskegon, people would say, you look like a swearinga. And why? Why would I look like a swearinga? Because it's who I am. I am a swearinga. I mean, I've got the swearinga features. If you see a lot of my extended family, my dad, man, I can see him, his brothers, and it's like, man, they're the older they get, the closer they become to my dad's age, they all look like each other. I mean, it's incredible to see some of those different truths. Well, the reality is you and I should be looking more like God because we're part of whose family? God's. If we're saved, we've been adopted. Remember on Sunday nights we've taken that there's 2 families, the devil's family and there's God's family, and I've been adopted into God's family. The ransom has been paid. I have been redeemed if I know Jesus Christ as Savior. So my godliness with contentment. What is contentment? It's something hard to practice. What is it? What's that? I don't need nothing. I'm good. I'm set. I'm okay. You know, Christmas time. And I remember as a kid, oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. I enjoy stuff. But man, I love watching my kids open presents. I would, when it comes to my birthday and years gone by, we would get together with kind of my larger family over at my parents' house and we'd get a number of people over. I didn't enjoy sitting there opening presents. Sure, it was nice to get stuff, but I just enjoyed being with people. Now, I wish that was always the case. When it comes to technology, man, I struggle being content. I love technology. Rocky, you know what I'm talking about. Man, that next big thing, and that looks pretty sweet. Man, how can I use that? How can I justify that in my budget? Because that sure looks good. We can struggle with contentment. The reality is godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And that's where happiness comes from. Principle 1, we talked about relationships are more important than fame or things. Principle 2, nothing anyone can do to harm can harm me. Only my what? Reaction will harm me. Principle 3, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And principle 4, each person is a creation of God and is unique and thus special. But if I'm going to be happy, My goal needs to be godliness. My goal needs to be looking like, living like God. So really, how do I strive to live like God if that's my goal? What kind of things do I need to do to be godly? What's that, Lloyd?
Read his word.
So I need to read his word. Because I'll never look like him if I don't know what he looks like. When you go for clothes, maybe some of you don't do that. Y'all go for clothes. When you go for certain styles, right? You're looking at this style or that style. You know what you're looking for because you're looking at that person or that style or whoa. When you're looking at different things, you're looking for certain styles. You know what you're looking for, listening for. The reality is the only way we can know what we're looking for is to be in God's word. How else can I? What other things do I need to do to live godly? Prayer. I need to speak with God. Man, I need to talk with God. Something that is easier done at least before dinner than any other time of the day, right? Sometimes it's hard to just get down and pray. But I need to read God's word. I need to pray. And then I just need to what? Obey. The kids learned a new verse. What is it? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-L-O-O-D that Jesus shed for me. I stand alone on the cornerstone, the B-L-O-O-D. That's all I ever knew until we came here to Jeruel. And then someone taught them a third verse. The B-I-B-L-E, I'll bring it along with me. I'll read and pray and then obey. The B-I-B-L-E. That's how I live godly life. I don't simply read the Bible. Oh, that was so good. But how do I apply it to my life and make a difference? I was speaking with evangelist Mike Maynor this week, and good conversation, and yet he challenged me with one area specifically. And you know what? That has changed the way that I've thought then, these last few days. What a blessing. We need to think about truths of Word of God and let that guide our thought process throughout the day, not just as we come to the next week, living each day godliness with contentment. Is great gain. So, number one, I need to aim for joy. Philippians 4:4. I need to aim for joy. Philippians 4:4. Maybe you know this verse and you don't even have to look it up. It is a song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Wow, that's hard, isn't it? Anybody else other than me ever struggle rejoicing? Okay, I have. Man. How about this last week? I've struggled rejoicing every day this last week. I have. And man, God wants us to aim for joy. What a blessing that we can have his strength as we do that. Again, Paul, his goal was not all sorts of stuff because he would have been miserable here when he was writing to the church at Philippi. I was listening to a message the other day. Just last night, from a pastor who was preaching about from Paul going into the city of Corinth. He came from Athens, where he didn't have any persecution. Yeah, there were people who didn't really agree with everything he taught, but man, he was stoned in some of the cities, not with drugs, but with rocks and all those other things. He was stoned in some of those cities. He was persecuted. He was left for dead. Athens, none of that happened, but he left Athens and went to Corinth. And what did he do? There were problems there too. But what was the goal? The goal wasn't being comfortable in life. The goal was godliness and God's call on life. But if I'm going to do that, I aim for joy. Philippians 4:4, as we said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Joy is a product of a right heart relationship with God. Happiness means, man, that was fun. Let's do it again. And then we do it again. It's like, that was fun, but man, I need something a little bit better. Why do they keep building bigger roller coasters? After the 10th time on it, it's not as fun as it was the first time. Now, some of you say, it's never fun. but different. Why do they go from bungee jumping and from the waist to being strapped by the feet? You go through all, upside down. I mean, you have to move to the next biggest thing because happiness only lasts so long. I heard it said this way, cigarettes, this one of the commercials in the, I don't know if it was 70s or 80s, cool cigarettes, they satisfy. And if they really satisfied, you wouldn't ever need another one, would you? But the reality is they wanted you to have another one and another one and another one. Well, the reality is in life, when I search for happiness in all sorts of life, areas of life, I'm not going to find it. This Christmas season, it may be tough for you. Sometimes Christmas is not the easiest time. Why? Ken? Okay, stress. There's all sorts of stress at Christmas time. What can some of those stresses be? Work. Whoa. Especially if you work for the post office. Man, that does not sound like a fun stress I want. What other stresses do we have at Christmas time? Ken? I've got to do this and that and this person. Man, expectation of gifts. What else? How about family? Can family ever be a stress around Christmas time? Okay, I've got some people laughing. That means a yes, right? Man, family can be a stress at Christmas time. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Oh, I got to go there, but you know how much I struggle with that. And wait a second. That can be a stress. What else can be a stress? Okay, finances. Got this food and this meal and this place and this activity and this gift. Whoa, what else? I can't seek for happiness during Christmas. I need to aim for joy in the middle of all the stress. And it's interesting. We were setting up a Christmas tree around our house the other night. Actually, it was in the house. It wasn't big enough to be around the house. But we were setting that up and decorating. And Christmas music is a good thing. And yet here I was listening to some Christmas hymns, instrumental. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling all this stress. And memories came flooding back. There's a song, Memories Come Flooding Back at Christmas. Man, memories came flooding back of all my ministry responsibilities that I had in Muskegon and the stress I began to feel from all those years ago when I was assistant pastor. I mean, just because every Christmas I knew this and this and that and this and that and the other and had to get done. And it's like all that came right back, rushing back. I'm like, whoa. But the reality is I need to aim for what? Joy. In the midst of stresses. We have stress every day of our life. Some seasons tend to bring more stress. But as I'm going through those seasons, I need to aim for joy because joy is a product of a right heart relationship with God, not from a lack of stress. Joy, number two, is a result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Again, we can only have true joy if we're saved, the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. But as I yield to Him, we're dealing with that with one of our kids this morning. Are you yielding to God or are you yielding to your flesh? Praise the Lord, that child yielded to God before the morning was over. But it's not always that easy. But the reality in our lives is I need to yield to God. In the midst of all these stresses and aim for that joy found only in Him. Number three, rejoice in the Lord, not in things. Because things break. Because things don't satisfy. They don't last. The niceness doesn't last. That new vehicle smell doesn't last. That new whatever it is doesn't last. We'll get a little crack or a break in it. I got a new phone when I came to Jeruel here. Pastor Bob is thankful for that because the phone that I had before that was nothing but junk. And the conversations we'd have multiple times. Sorry, Pastor Bob, I'd call him back. But I got a new phone. Great. I dropped it and there's just a little crack in the corner. Not a big deal. But it's like, bummer. Things just get old. We've got a Vitamix. Any of you know what a Vitamix is? I love a Vitamix. It is our most used kitchen appliance. Pulled it out this morning. I was making a shake in it and make our peanut butter. Love it. I was making almond butter a couple weeks ago and took my roasted almonds from the oven and put them right into the Vitamix because you're supposed to use roasted almonds. And I've done it before. Well, I let it get too hot, and it kind of warped the pitcher just a little bit. Well, those pitchers aren't cheap. Praise God, it didn't warp it enough where it still works fine, and I was pretty excited about that. But things just don't stay the same, and if I look for happiness in the things, I got to find something else. Need a new one. That's not going to last. Things just don't keep giving happiness. But aiming for joy by aiming for that right heart relationship with God, does.
When I was making cookies, I dropped my mom's rolling pin and fell right off the table and it broke. My first impulse was to get teary and then the verse
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. That is, amen. That's aiming for godliness. Man, that is how I always want to react as I go through stresses in life. Sadly, that's not how I always react. But aren't you thankful we can? Aim for joy by aiming for that right heart relationship with God and the right focus instead of on the things, on the Lord. And then number four, joy is dependent on being where God wants you to be and doing what He wants you to do. Let me read that one more time. Joy is dependent on being where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. Not doing whatever you think is right for your life. You know, we challenge the teenagers with that. We challenge our kids with that. We want you to do what God wants you to do and not what you want to do. Because doing what you want to do will never bring true joy. You'll keep striving for more and better and whatever. But doing what God wants you to do, what God has called you to do. I think about the Apostle Paul. Again, he's been a real prominent Bible character in my mind lately since we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians and I'm studying Ephesians and just going through some things. Think about his life. He gave up being a religious leader to get saved and go be a preacher. Who didn't always do the greatest financially, who didn't always have the most comfort when he was leaving a city, got free rides sometimes, but they sure weren't fun ones. But he did all that and he found his joy. Why? Because he was joyful in what God had called him to do. And whatever God has called you to do, whatever state of life God has called you to be in today, if we're doing what God has called us to do, that's where that joy comes from. Happiness is a byproduct of faithfulness to God and not a goal. And then number two, barriers for joy. What are some of the barriers for joy? We talked about stress already, and man, that puts a big thing up. But really, why in some ways we don't like the way stress makes us feel, but I think there's even an overarching principle over that. Covetousness. Why don't we like stress? I don't like the way it makes me feel. And I can look at someone else's life and say, whoa, if I could only have their life right now and not mine. You ever thought that about someone? Oh, I just wish. And aren't you thankful they don't know your life? I was listening to a message a couple weeks ago. The preacher was talking about Facebook and the reality of on Facebook, you look at this nice family portrait, and if my family was only like that. And yet we don't know what they were doing until they said cheese. And we don't know the stresses to get to that point. We don't know someone else's life. The reality is, even as a church family, as much as we can know each other, we don't know each other's lives. We don't know exactly what I'm going through, and I don't know exactly what you're going through. You know, we think even of Mark and Karen. We only know so much of what Karen's going through. We can feel for her and understand to agree. And some of you maybe understand even in a more degree than others. But we still don't know exactly the stresses in the way Karen feels. And so, man, when I look at others' lives, I can't be covetous and say, man, if my life was only like that. Because the reality is, you might not be able to handle that life. Because it's a lot harder than what you're thinking. A lot different stresses than what God has prepared you to go through today. But God used different things to prepare them for the day. And so being covetousness, things don't bring joy. Luke 12, verse 15. Fear is not joyful. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Philippians 4, 6. God doesn't want us to have fear. I'll read 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. So two barriers here specifically for joy is covetousness, which affects so many areas of life, and fear. Think about it. The angels came to the shepherds and brought joy. But what did they tell them? What was the first thing they told them not to do? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Because fear what? Eats at our joy. You know, we can look at our lives and sometimes we're afraid. Not afraid of the dark like we look at kids. We're not afraid of some situations like, well, that doesn't make sense to be afraid. But man, we're afraid of so many different things. How's this going to turn out? What's going to happen here? I'm just overwhelmed with these stresses and all I can see are these negative things coming to me. These barriers for joy. God wants us to have joy. And then, so we aim for joy. We looked at some barriers for joy. And number three, we see that I need to avoid what? I need to avoid worry. Again, easier said than done. But I avoid worry. All of Philippians 4, really, we could look in depth at. But again, verse 6, how do I overcome worry? By proper what? Praying. Verse 6, we read that. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18? How many of you remember that verse? Hopefully some of you remember it, yeah? In everything, give what? This kind of is even a little more in depth of, well, how do I do that in everything? By what? Prayer and supplication. Wow. So proper praying really helps me to overcome worry. Do you struggle praying? If we pray, that will help us to aim for that godly relationship we need with Him. It will help us to aim for that godliness with contentment is great gain. Number two, overcome worry by right thinking. Wow. We fantasize things in our mind so much. Not just moral or immoral things, but so many stresses of life. As kids, we're taught to develop our what? Imagination. Sometimes our kids will say, well, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. Can't I watch something? No. Go play. There's nothing to play with. Well, that's a lie. You already know that. But there's so much stuff to do. We try to teach them to what? Develop their imagination. And then it's crazy. They'll get this little box and they'll imagine all day long. Well, the reality is we are taught to imagine things, but when we get older, sometimes our imagination leads us to worry. We imagine only the negative things that can happen. This might happen, that might happen, this might go on. But the reality is I need to overcome my worry by right thinking, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, here's the grid that I need to flow my thoughts through. The end of the verse, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when I let my imagination go. And imagination is important. Or we wouldn't have artists. Imagination is important. Or we wouldn't have photographers. We'd have a lot of boring pictures. Imagination is important. Or we wouldn't be creative. But that's when we filter our imagination through the right process here. And instead of worrying, let God direct our hearts and our thoughts. Sometimes we'll say to our kids, you need to let God change your thinking. Well, how do we let God change our thinking? We read the Word of God or quote Scripture. We sing godly songs and we pray. But really what that's doing is going back to Philippians 4:8 and filtering our thoughts through these things. That is how we can overcome worry. Instead, it's not through our fingernails, right? It's through God's Word. Overcome worry by right thinking. And then number three, overcome worry by what? Living right. 4 verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Overcome worry by living right. I know I don't feel like this, but I'm just going to do it. Sometimes that's why we go to church. I don't feel like going to church, but I know it's right and I need to do it. And then we're thankful as we've yielded to God to go. Sometimes, man, I don't feel like doing that. And yet if I don't, then I'm plagued by guilt. And then that begins to change me. And I sure don't have joy when it comes to guilt. We're reminded in Hebrews there's pleasure in sin. But only for a what? Season. It can last only so long. But when I live right, that's where the joy will come in. God will make a difference in my life. So that last phrase, don't search for happiness, search for God. This Christmas season, don't search for happiness at your family reunions. Because the sad reality is you probably won't have it. Hopefully you'll have some good times, but there's going to be stress with that. Don't search for happiness in the gifts that hopefully you will get. Don't search for happiness in trying to make a stress-free life. Let's focus on searching for God, and that right heart relationship with God will bring true joy.